Breaking news, the ACLJ sues a Virginia county over church discrimination. The pastor joins us to discuss.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. A lot to talk about today. We mentioned this case last week, but we are suing today, filing the lawsuit in the Eastern District of Virginia against Prince William County on behalf of a live church. This is the church that was told if you want to utilize your property at all, especially during the pandemic. So they bought a property. They hadn't yet built on the property, but to utilize the property for outdoor services, gatherings, because the school that they were meeting in also had closed down, so they weren't having outside groups in, they weren't having students in. So they were just looking for a place to gather, and they were told by the county, well, you can gather if you get a liquor license. That's the only way, is that you'll have to, again, pay a licensing fee, which, again, the county knows a church is not subject to any taxes. It doesn't pay taxes. We've seen this in Northern Virginia often. They have a hostility. It's a very expensive, well-to-do county in Northern Virginia, right outside D.C. The property's expensive, and the city would much rather, if they had their choosing, have on these properties tax revenue. You know, whether it was a personal home or a commercial business where they can get revenue from. So they've got this hostility towards churches, not seeing what the churches provide to a community, why they get that tax benefit.
And in this particular case, we talked about this the other day, but I think it's worth reiterating. The church was put in a very awkward situation. They were told, basically, if you get a liquor license, you can operate. Now, you've got all these other activities going on there, on this area of Prince William County, you know, venues, distilleries, wine, orchards, where they have events. So the church function of events and things like that, the county, you know, said, we're not a problem with that. But to qualify as the same as any of these other enterprises, you have to obtain an ABC license, which is the liquor license for the state of Virginia. That's how Virginia regulates the sale of alcoholic beverages. The problem with that, of course, is it violates the church conscience, but it also treats the church in a uniquely different way. And that, Professor Hutchinson, the Constitution does not allow.
Absolutely. So in this particular case, the Alive Church is suggesting that there is a violation of their First Amendment rights substantively and as applied by the county. And I think they are precisely on point here. I think it is clear beyond question that if you look at the documentation required, supplied by the county. If you look at the letter that they sent, they said you can indeed operate, but you simply cannot operate as a church. That, in my judgment, violates the United States Constitution.
The pastor will be joining us the next segment of the broadcast, Alan Perdue. If you're watching, he'll be joining by Skype, so you'll be able to see the pastor, but of course you'll hear him if you're listening on the radio broadcast as well. So unique to hear from the client and their experience with the county. And how they were connected with the ACLJ. We were talking to our client here. We realized this would be great to have on the broadcast. So that's coming up when we come back. We've also got a former Secretary of State, our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He'll be joining us second half hour of the broadcast. We'll be switching gears a little bit, talking about what's going on with the Wuhan Lab Leak, as well as COVID issues at the southern border as we're starting to see those cases again. The numbers are pretty big when it comes to COVID, and people are trying to figure out the fall back to school. So we'll talk about that with former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. But when we come back, our client in the case, a live church, Pastor Alan Perdue will be joining us live on the broadcast with us to discuss the case. And I encourage you, go to aclj.org. You'll be able to see the what we have filed here in the case, the complaint, and what we are seeking for this church. It is insane what this county has done to the church, or proposed that the church do. As always, check out aclj.org. We if you're watching on Facebook, Periscope, Instagram, YouTube, share this with your friends and family. We'll be right back with our client, Alive Church, and their pastor, Alan Perdue.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Seculo, this is unique because oftentimes we will bring cases where we have the clients will come on after the case and we'll discuss it if it's been a resolved. But in this case, we wanted to bring the client on when we filed the lawsuit, which we are filing today in the Eastern District of Virginia. That's in federal court. The pastor, Alan Perdue, the church, a live church in, again, this is in Prince William County, Virginia. We've talked about some of their story before, but there is more to it, and that's why we wanted to have Pastor Alan join us today.
Pastor, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you taking time to be with us, but also appreciate the stand your church has taken. We've talked about this case a couple of times, but it bears repeating here that you were trying to serve the community. This was the history of this is fascinating. Talk a little bit about what led the church to this property to begin with.
Absolutely, Jay. If I could, I just want to quickly say thank you to Mr. Ben Sisney. How our paths crossed was a God thing. And Jay, to you and the ACL.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Since the beginning of my ministry, you have been with us. You gave us the roadmap for how to get into schools, giving students the Bill of Rights to do Bible clubs in their local schools. Jay, thank you and the ACLJ for all you do. Thank you for taking on this important case. Jay, it really began because we are very active in our community. I'm very active in our business community and the business associations of our area who meet just in general for meetings and getting together in wineries. And we have these business meetings there, and we left, and our board and our leaders here said, man, you go to these wineries and they have these really nice buildings, but they're parking on gravel or they're parking on the grass. And we simply went to the zoning administrator and said, why can't we do that? You've removed all the red tape for them, but for churches, you put up in place this huge amount of red tape, this special use permit, by the way, which we have. And we said, can we just build a venue like that? And when I asked the question, she looked right in my eye and said, go get your ABC license. And it was like, wow, we're a church.
Yeah, I mean, so for people to understand, and first of all, I appreciate what you, I didn't mean to cut you off earlier. I appreciate what you were saying, but I think the Ben Sisney story is also interesting on how this is, folks, this is how it works. This is how God does these things. This is how the ACLJ works. Ben was, if my understanding is correct, was attending. You met at a...
Yeah, Ben, he and his family just moved to the area, and they showed up to find a church, and they showed up to a live church and told me that he worked for the ACLJ.
Isn't that great? That's just, I love hearing those stories, and I certainly am thrilled that all those years ago you were able to utilize our resources. And here we are again, and I'm glad we're able to provide these for you now. Let me ask you a question on this. You mentioned, for people to understand, the church had the right to meet constitutionally and statutorily with this, under the same terms and conditions as anybody else. You cannot put the church in a situation where they are being treated unequally. That violates the Constitution. You did obtain a special use permit, so you were permitted to proceed. Explain that.
So we purchased the property with a special use permit that we have spent literally over $100,000 to do engineering and do everything they've asked of us to do. We have permission to build the church campus under that special use permit. But what we were seeking to do, because of the COVID shutdown, because we were displaced from our Prince William County school partner, whom we love, whom we appreciate, and we appreciate their partnership, we as a church were displaced. And when the governor allowed, under with certain guidelines, to reopen again in May for those ready to rejoin worshiping in public, we said to ourselves, man, could we just build one of these farm-like structures that wineries and breweries are building, because it's completely void of the red tape. There's no red tape for them. And so we just wanted the same privilege. Could we build a venue and worship there, serve the community from there, and do so without having to be displaced and without having to pay a rent or pay someone else's mortgage? And so we were following the path for the special use permit, but we really felt like we were not being allowed access to cut through the red tape for an earlier structure to go ahead and get on our property.
You know, it's interesting, Pastor, as we're talking to Pastor Alan Perdue, this is the church we represent, a live church, and the new lawsuit we're filing today on behalf of the church versus Prince William County. You know, Pastor, it seems like this is, we've seen this happen time and time again in Northern Virginia. It's expensive property. They want the revenue. They want tax revenue. And they kind of don't see the benefit of the churches and what they provide to the community and to civil society and to just the, as you were talking about, being out in the business community, the outreach that you do, all these different things. And it's not so much, it's not the school administrators, they were shut down. I understand that. They didn't have anything to decide there. But these county attorneys to come back to you, and then planning boards to say, you've got to be, you want to build something like that structure, go get a liquor license. It's finding any way possible to get tax, it's like a tax revenue from you, even though you should be completely tax exempt. And I think there was a time where you even thought about, okay, maybe we have to do this because we need to operate for our community.
Yeah, Jordan, we said, I mean, we're partners in our community, in our county here, and we appreciate the work that they've tried to do to help us. And we did say to ourselves, could we grow apple trees and just make apple cider that's non-alcoholic, which still happened to be governed by the ABC license? However, the optic of that really did not align with our deep core values. And no church should be asked to get a liquor license. It's not a good optic for any church. And so we did, for a moment, consider it. And then in talking to our district and our leadership, we said, no, we really don't think we should have to do that. And I think, Jordan, it's important to note that a live church and our board and our district gave us some grant money to help. We spent over $20,000 locally to keep it here in the family, working with a very good local land use attorney and the county attorney. And we spent the money to convince them of the Rupala issue and what we felt was a good Rupala argument. And the response that our attorneys got from the county attorney was, you know, notwithstanding whether or not this long 13-page letter you wrote with Rupala and state statute in it, notwithstanding whether or not you're correct or we're correct, we're not going to change our mind or rewrite anything to your benefit unless compelled to do so by a higher court. And so we're here because it was the only recourse the county gave us.
The statute that you're referring to, the Religious Land Use Protection Act, was designed to prevent exactly this situation. That's the irony of this. We've alleged in the complaint that the church meets all the requirements and has all the necessary approvals to be treated by the county as a bona fide agricultural use. Similar to the farm wineries or breweries to conduct agritourism, as they call it, meets all the requirements, but for its sincerely held religious beliefs, which meant they did not want to obtain a liquor license, Harry. That's exactly what the Religious Land Use Protection Act is all about.
Absolutely. So this case is directly on point. I'm very happy that we have filed this lawsuit today in order to vindicate the rights of the Alive Church within the meaning of the United States Constitution. On the other hand, Prince William County has engaged in outrageous decision-making. In essence, the Alive Church, which has a special use permit, is being prevented from using the property that it owns within the meaning of the law. Why? Because the county says you need to get a liquor license. So in essence, the church is being forced to confront a Hobbesian choice. Either we become basically an alcohol establishment, or we can operate as a church but with an alcohol license, or we have to shut down.
You know,
this is outrageous.
It is so absurd when you think. I mean, Wes, really quick, and Pastor, we're going to keep you for the next segment of the broadcast. Wes, you're of course not only retired colonel from the United States Army, but you're also a pastor or chaplain. Putting the church in this situation is really absurd.
It is absolutely insane. And if you didn't really realize it was actually happening, you would think someone made this up. And Alan, it's so good to have you on the show today. I'm not a member of your denomination, but I did go to Trevecca Nazarene University for my bachelor's degree, so we probably know some of the same people. My understanding, though, is that you actually rented a winery, brewery for your services for a while when the school closed down. And I think it's true that if a winery or a brewery, they can rent to a church, and the church can actually worship there, so they can do the activity that's not allowed on your own property if you'll rent it from a winery. Is that true?
Yeah, it's just so ironic. That's absolutely correct. They can do weddings, which 90% of the time are religious events.
Of course.
We as a church have utilized agricultural and winery type structures in the pandemic to continue functioning in those early months. And for them to be able to operate and worship and do what they do and host churches who worship, and that we could not do that on a regular every week basis on our own property, it's mind blowing.
It really is. Pastor, we've only got 40 seconds left, so we're going to stay with us. We're going to join us for the next segment. Fascinating case. That lawsuit about to be filed really any minute now.
That's right. It'll be filed in the Eastern District of Virginia. That's in federal court. The pastor, Alan Perdue, joining us on the broadcast today. Support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org. But I encourage you, you'll be able to see this too on our website later today. We'll have this up so you can see what we filed in Prince William County in the Eastern District of Virginia. Also, if you got questions, comments, and you want to get it on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, we have our team watching that, monitoring that. We can get some of those in as well. We'll be right back on Seculum.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Second, we are continuing to be joined by our client in this case, so with a live church in Northern Virginia and Pastor Alan Perdue. It's interesting, Nancy on Facebook wrote in, the county was probably betting on it costing the church too much money to fight. They didn't count on the ACLJ stepping in. And what I think is important here is, remember, the last thing the county said to the pastors, he said the first, when we were first talking, was, we're not doing anything different till the court tells us we have to.
So, Pastor, you said the church spent with local lawyers trying to get it resolved about $25,000 or $30,000. As Nancy's comment from Facebook suggests, is the expectation was they figured you weren't going to have the resources to move this forward into court. Is that what your sense is?
Absolutely. We did contract with someone. Our denominational headquarters and general counsel had sent us to someone with 24 years of RUPLA experience in the courts. They're still on our team working with Mr. Ben Sisney. But literally, Jay, just within a week and a half of signing that agreement with that lawyer, we met Ben. And then Ben and I went to lunch not too long after that. In less than just a few weeks after meeting Mr. Ben Sisney, ACLJ so amazingly said yes to join our team and join with us and take this on. We couldn't be doing this without you.
Yeah. So the fact of the matter is this. The issue is very, very significant, Pastor. You're looking at it as a case affecting your church. But any time that government tries to treat the church distinctly or differently is something that we have been fighting, and you know this because you've been following the ACLJ, it sounds like, for a long time. I mean, one of the first cases I had which allowed your church to utilize the school facilities was the Lamb's Chapel case. And in Lamb's Chapel, in that particular case, the church was denied the right to use a school facility to show a film series by Focus on the Family. Every other conceivable group was allowed access to this school, Santa Mauritius Union Free School District, and except for Focus, they targeted the religious group. And what's happened here, it seems like, is the county's treating you, first they said, almost sounds like a wink and a nod. I know it wasn't, but like, well, if you were a winery, we'd let you do it. So you're going to operate like one, but you still have to get the liquor license. And the question is so ironic here is, why do they care whether the church has a liquor license when you're not selling alcohol?
Absolutely. I mean, for us, it was just a simple matter of, if, you know, I said to a group of business people, imagine there's a business next to you building something and the county cuts all the red tape for them, and you go and ask to do the same thing with a few nuances, and they say, no, here's this stack of red tape you've got to go through. To us, it was just, we just couldn't believe it. We thought, and I want to say, Jay, I do believe that the initial feeling of it was that they wanted to help us. And of course, we were trying to work with,
right,
keep a good relationship because we care about the county. We care about our community. We wanted to keep that good relationship because we do have a much larger campus to build in the future, Lord willing. So we were working with them. We felt like their attitude was that we want to work with you. But then all of a sudden, just the red tape started coming again. Instead of getting the letter in 2 months as we should have, it took almost 4 months and on and on. And so, yeah, for us, we're thankful to God for ACLJ coming with us and coming beside us on this.
Well, Pastor, we're glad to be of assistance. That's what we do at the ACLJ. And as we tell people on every broadcast, whether it's the Supreme Court in the United States, the International Criminal Court in The Hague, dealing with complex issues on Capitol Hill, we're representing a church in Northern Virginia. That's what the American Center for Law and Justice does, and our donors allow us, our supporters allow us to do that for you at no cost, which we're thrilled to do. Pastor, thanks for being with us. We look forward to a successful resolution. We'll have you back on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
You know, that again, I think this showed right away, if you're in ever this situation, we always have an aclj.org right at the top of the homepage. Get legal help. It's at the top of the page, and it's a very quick way for you to put in the information if you need assistance or if you're the pastor of a church that needs assistance. So if you believe you're in a similar situation where you're being, you know, your church or is being mistreated, your organization being mistreated by a government agency or official that you're trying to deal with in good faith, like this church was. They were trying to resolve this at the local level, at the community level, but they couldn't. And the county dared them, you know, ultimately dared them to file a lawsuit. Well, dare accepted lawsuit being filed. And that is key.
Yes.
Most people, understandably, they get to these points with these counties where they got to operate it and deal with and live with. And they say, you know, sue us or goodbye. And, you know, you've already spent money with local attorneys. A federal lawsuit is very expensive. You may not know where this outcome will be. That's why we exist.
Exactly.
So that when a county says to a church, sue us, we can say, all right, let's sue you.
So what's also interesting here, Than, is that this was a combination of, if you look at what happened here, so our Ben Sisney happens to go to the church. This, you know, these are God moments. He goes to the church has a legal issue. We're going to court, but we're also relying on legislation we worked on, I'm trying to think, 20 years ago almost, maybe more. The religious land use, it used to be called the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, because it was to protect religious liberty on land use and also folks that were in prison. So the statutory basis is something we worked on, which allows us to go to court here.
There's almost always an overlay here, isn't there, Jay? I mean, there's the constitutional provisions, there's the statutory protections, there's the regulations that are put in place by the federal government and the local governments, and then there's the litigation that has to take place. And, you know, Jay, as you were having that conversation with Pastor Perdue, I so appreciate the spirit that he has with this. But let me tell you, I am always worried about the potential for future regulation, especially when you're talking about something like a liquor license. I mean, how often, Jay, do localities do things like, say, schools and daycares and even churches can't be placed in, or liquor stores can't be placed in close proximity to those. So what happens, Jay, if Prince William County or the state of Virginia says that anybody that has an ABC license can't operate near one of these churches? What would the church do in that circumstance? So you've got to look at all layers of that, and we're uniquely situated to do it.
You're absolutely right. In fact, one of the folks that helps on our security matters at the ACLJ, one of the sheriffs, said to me when we were going out, she was listening to the broadcast, you know, a lot of counties, you have to say a certain amount of feet away if you got alcoholic beverages being an establishment. Another business has to say a certain amount of feet away. Here, all the church wanted to be was treated equally, and they were denied that right. And because they were denied that right, the county was figuring, just as I am sure that, as Nancy, who wrote in from Facebook, said, they were not counting on the American Center for Law and Justice to be able to stand with this church and to stand with the congregation and to fight for this. This is what we do with the ACLJ. Like I said, it could be the Supreme Court, be the International Criminal Court in The Hague. It could be complicated international matters involving foreign policy, or it could be a local church in Northern Virginia that needs help.
Yeah, that's right. And this is why you support the work of the ACLJ. All of you, you may not be in this situation right now, but you understand that we will be there for those churches, for those people who do need our help, and it doesn't cost them anything because you support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. But let me encourage you again, just to kind of the breadth and the scope of the ACLJ, Ben Sisney, you know, walking into a church with his family, coming out with, representing a client. At the same time, coming up in our second half hour, our senior counsel for global affairs, former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, joining us. All work that we do under the ACLJ, all work we do together at the ACLJ, and all just as important. Like Than was talking about, the idea that, you know, the single church represents lots of churches to make sure they're not being mistreated. We'll be right back on Seculo, second half hour coming up. We're going to get into the crisis at the border, as well as the Wuhan Lab report from the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.